I had fallen in love with this woman and we'd gotten married and I was very wealthy. I was a very successful actor or whatever it was that I was doing. I'm assuming it was acting. I might have been like a producer, who knows? Anyway, so she killed me.
Oh.
Poisoned me.
Whoa.
It turns out she married me for my money and then she offed me. Did you know that so many of our current patterns in this life started in a past life and have been repeated over and over and over again? Did you know that you can actually clear those patterns and solve issues in this life by clearing karma from those past lives? Hey, if you think tarot is deep, wait till you get a load of part two of Taking the Charge Out of Reincarnation. This is a heartfelt, deeply woo, sometimes spooky exploration into the power of past lives. Listen as Trey the Storyteller does a live reading for Jenny.
Hello.
Hi, hi, hi. How's your current incarnation?
It's going so much better now that the shift finally happened. I was waiting through that big pile of shift for so long, and now it's finally happened.
You really were, man. And you handled it with grace.
Oh.
And, well, you can go ahead and say no, or you could say, yes, thank you. I took good care of myself, and I'm still here.
I am still here. I did handle it decently well, especially compared to how I'm sure I've handled it in previous lives. And I am starting to take better care of myself, so I will say that.
Yeah, so previous lives. Oh, man, we were guaranteed to whiff things. Humans just weren't evolving very quickly. If you figure we've been around for 10,000 years, there's no way that there was enough sort of transcendence and, I don't know, a connection to the ethereal and all of the things that we associate with having to get access to past lives. And guess what? Anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Why look at your past lives?
Well, and we did discuss this a little bit in detail last episode, so this is a nice continuation.
And it's recommended. Like, go, yeah. You know, if you didn't listen to that episode, like, definitely go back and have
yes.
a listen, because we had lots and lots to say about why.
Yeah, definitely. And then today is less the why and more the what. So Trey and I have both delved into our past lives, Trey way more extensively than probably I have. Trey, how many past life readings would you say you've done for yourself?
For myself, or have had done, because
yes.
healers work with healers, so I definitely have people do readings for me. At this point, probably like 50-ish.
Whoa.
Which, because in energy healing, so that's what I am. I'm an energy healer. I call myself a story channeler. So when I work with people, I will go in and I will like look at their aura. I will look at like blocked energy. I will look to see if there's like, you know, entities hanging around. And maybe it's just because, hey, I'm a storyteller and past lives are stories, right? So maybe this is just a tool that I have a particular affinity for. But so often a past life will come in. And so it won't just be like, oh, I see a lot of energy blocked in your knee. You know, let's clear that out and get some of the, you know, inflammation down. Like, I can do that. But what usually happens is, for when I'm reading other people or for myself, a past life will come in and be like, oh, you were in a terrible accident. And there was a horse and it trampled your knee. And for so many of your lives subsequent to that life, you've had knee problems. So, hey, what do you say? Let's clear out that karma that's attached to that. Let's clear out, you know, that your knee is holding all of this energy from these past lives and the injury that comes back and comes back and comes back. And let's get you to a point where your body can actually heal. And also, so you don't have knee problems moving forward. Like, that's the thing that I'm obsessed with as an energy healer.
Yeah, well, it's really fascinating to think that you can clear not just emotional ailments, but like physical ailments that you've been dealing with as well. Like, feels very like ooh, pseudoscience kind of, but like, nah, it's just past lives, man.
It's just past lives.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's one of my favorite things to do because when I'm reading it for other people or for myself, it's our higher self that's dictating what past life to look at. So I'm not doing anything. I'm just channeling it, you know? So it's like your soul is telling me, hey, tell current Jenny about this life and this life. There's always an association between, I'll do two past lives for a client. And invariably they are linked together and there's like a message in there. So it's just you talking to yourself, which is marvelous. It's marvelous to know that there is a perspective that, you know, it's just not you right here, right now, that it's connected to this much grander web of experience as an entity, whatever we want to identify ourselves at. But then like, that's all great and fine, but like, oh my gosh, like clearing the karma associated with it, that's the jam, man.
Yeah, and I really feel like the karma clearing is like the bread and butter of it, you know, because the first two past life readings from what you did for me, like the first time you did it, which was one of the first times we reconnected post film school, I don't think we cleared the karma attached to those lives.
I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. So we just it's okay. It's okay. I mean, one of them, there wasn't anything crazy that we had happen or that we discovered to have even karma cleared for. And then the other one, so I'm not even going to touch that one. And then the other one was my eagle lifetime, where I had an eagle companion. So I don't know. Did we want to just hop into it? And just
You know, that eagle one, but will you go in whatever order that you want? But
we'll start with that one because that was the first past life reading you did for me. And it was two readings back to back, two lives back to back. And the second one was much, much earlier, was before a lot of like civilization or things like that. And I was just a kid on a boat, essentially. And like, I didn't even have a name. And so it was very, very early. But the one that you had done right before was me living in, I want to say medieval times, but like, I don't know what the technical term for those times would be, but you told me that I was the child to a lord who owned a lot of land and that I had a sister and that my relationship with my father wasn't bad, but it wasn't like I was going to inherit anything. You know, I wasn't, you told me that I wasn't like going down that path and that I very much had my own priorities and I was off in my own world a lot of the time, which makes so much sense because it's been every life since then. But
yes,
but when you first got into the reading, you thought it was this giant figure reaching up into the sky. But then you figured out that it was the externalization of my connection that I had to this bird. And that I had a bird, and I think it was an eagle. It was either an eagle or a hawk, but it was a big bird. And I had a bird, and I had the intense emotional bond with this bird, and I loved this bird a lot, and we were close friends. And I also had the ability to see through the bird. Like, you know, it's a horrible metaphor, but like kind of like Assassin's Creed, you know, where you can call in.
Thinking Lady Hawk. You're thinking Assassin's Creed.
Where you can like view into this other species and see what they're seeing. Which would have been a fantastic tool for wartime or anything else, but like I truly just used it to have fun. And I just absolutely loved this connection with this bird. And you did tell me that eventually this bird died and that it was a huge, huge, great loss to me, a very, very deep internal loss. And that this bird was one of my soul people and one of my soul connections, and that I had another bird afterwards, but it wasn't the same. And I was much more connected to this bird. And I really felt that. And it was just like, because I do have this inclination that like, I have certain soul people, but that there's one soul in particular that I have a very special bond with, that we keep finding each other in every life. And I'm not sure if I found that person in this life yet or not.
Not yet, okay. But you will.
That's what I figured. But in that life, it was me and they were a bird. And I thought that was really cute and really, really special. And I have such an affinity for birds.
Which was the big thing is, so when you get a past life reading, we often, you know, we're just reporting what we see,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have no idea what this means. Maybe it means something to you. And then afterwards, like you told me this story about being a kid and having a bird.
Yeah. I was just about to bring Rex up. Cause like, I feel like it'd be fun to like bring up the ways in which that karma came back in this life for me. Mm-hmm. And in high school, no, late middle school, early high school, we got a bird and his name is Rex. And it was just by chance that my mom's boss had this bird that we were taking care of regularly. We would bird sit a lot and we really liked Rex. We really got along with him. He's a green-cheeked conure. And my mom's boss, her kids ended up going away to college. And she was like, you know, I don't really have the emotional connection to this bird that these kids had. And I feel like it would be good for him to have somebody in his life who really takes care of him. And so we got him and he ferried me through high school, because high school were some of the worst years of my life. And I love this bird and he always wanted to be on me. He hated my mom. Because he hates women, and I at that time was male presenting and male endearing, and so he just he'd hang out with me all the time. He loves salt, and so if I was ever crying, he'd eat my tears because they're nice and salty, and it's like super cute and wholesome. And you're like, oh, he's comforting me, and it's like, no, he's eating your salt, but that's cute too, you know. And he'd do this thing where he goes down my shirt and then peeks up over it.
Oh, that's so adorable.
Yeah. And then when I moved away, my mom kept him and he ended up bonding with my mom. And so him and my mom have a really good relationship now. And, you know, she absolutely loves Rex. And I'm a little jealous of that relationship because I miss Rex a lot. But I also recognize that that was my first really big relationship with an animal in this lifetime. And that more will happen, and more will be for just me. And that one wasn't just for me. It was for me and my mom. So,
right.
Yeah.
But the bird aspect. So as a psychic, we don't always get, validation, where we get confirmation that what we've seen or the messages that we've delivered, are quote unquote right, mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, like who loves birds? I've known exactly one other person in my life who is really prefers birds to all other animals. It's
so
just not, you know, like a very typical thing. So when you told me about this amazing relationship that you had with Rex, I was like, validation. This was real. This really demonstrates that this was a part of your soul that is carrying this thing forward. So, and you know, there's no karma declared there. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Go have all the birds.
Well, I think it was soon after that my favorite animal transitioned to be the Canadian goose. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, because my favorite animal used to be a polar bear, the polar bear, and they're sad and they're extinct and there's only a few of them left and I'll never get to see them in person and I'll certainly never get to touch one. And so then I went to the other end of the spectrum and my favorite animal is now the Canadian goose and I see them all the time. They're an invasive species in fact, so like they're everywhere, you know. There's not a week of my life that I'll go by and not see a Canadian goose, and it makes me really happy.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. And your state even has like an open season because population control is mm-hmm. a genuine issue. And there will be people who are who get licenses and stuff. So, yeah, I can see how that's really strange.
Yeah.
Polar bears to Canadian goose.
We can asparagus that. Did we want to do every other and you go into one now, too?
Sure. So for me I'm mostly, and this is part of my service. I love, love, love doing past life readings for people. And some of the things that happened for me, I don't do hypnosis regression. So you're not seeing it and telling me, like, I'm going back into that dimension, into that timeline or whatever, and telling you what I see. But again, to be clear, it is your higher self showing me what you need to know at that moment. And I find it much less interesting to do it for myself.
I bet.
I mostly do it for other people, and I've done hundreds at this point, and they're just that easy for me to do. And then to escalate, obviously, to be able to have the conversation to say, like, okay, so what is the message that's coming across? But at this point, I've had enough readings done by others for me, and then also the ones I've done for myself, that I actually have, like, kind of categories. So this is how we work it in the therapeutic sense. You come in to your healing space, whether it's with another person or just with yourself, and you're like, I'm really struggling with XYZ. I can't see a way forward. I don't know if I've actually, like, ended up in a dead end and I just need to get out of it. So you do an energy reading on yourself, and lots of times a past life will come up, and then you'll see, oh, okay, what's actually going on is something that's a remnant from this other past life. And then when you relive that past life, it just creates clarity in yourself, because mm-hmm. it's still you. It's still your, it's like a memory you've forgotten. And then you can go in and either just take the lesson, because there's usually, like, you go in, like, what do I need to know about XYZ situation? And then you get your answer, and you get it with the bonus of getting the story about, adding to the story of who you are as a soul. So, for example, just recently, I've been struggling with a business partnership, and there was lots of, like, trauma, this world trauma pieces to it that I was like, oh, am I supposed to work it out with her so that I can resolve, facing the fears, face the shark, and then work it differently, simply make the change the energy of the relationship and have it go better, because we have that capacity, right? And it just wasn't resolving, and it was just getting, it's just weird, and I just couldn't get comfortable with it. So I went to my friend that I trade past life readings with and healings with, and it turns out I did have a past life, at least one with this person, but the one that was relevant was in the, like, 1870s. I presented as male. I was a theater dandy. Of course I was.
Of course you were.
Anyone surprised? And I had fallen in love with this woman, and we'd gotten married, and I was very wealthy. I was a very successful actor, or whatever it was that I was doing. I'm assuming it was acting. I might've been, like, a producer, who knows? Anyway, so she killed me.
Oh,
she poisoned me.
Whoa.
It turns out she married me for my money. And then she offed me, and I was like, well, no wonder I couldn't find peace first off, there was something inherently in me. Like, when you struggle with somebody, guys, like, listen to that, pay attention to that. There's danger there. Danger, Will Robinson. So don't try to force yourself into it without some tools. I did the tools. I did the this world tools, trying to, like, fix, how I dealt with her, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out, like, she tried to kill me. So then the question is, so I broke the contracts. I cleared the karma of that life. She's not going to kill me in this life. Mm-hmm. Not that she ever was, but the danger that I was feeling about her. So now I have a very clear and clean choice. If I do choose to work with her, it will be a brand new relationship. There will be new rules. There will be no me, not recognizing that this person doesn't have my best interests at heart. Or any of the things that, I've acquired in this life through my trauma. If I'm having a good time, then I'll keep working with her. And if I still can't find like a good vibe with her, like you and I, we vibe, mm-hmm. man. Like we would not be doing this if we were not having a blast. I couldn't do this with her. So do I just walk away from the relationship entirely? I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but at least now it's an informed choice. Wow. So that to me is a great example of the power of a past life reading.
Wow. And to be able to, I've never thought of like going into a past life reading to help understand a relationship you already have. First of all, oh, yeah. I'm going to ask you to do that for me after this episode's over. Second of all, it's really interesting to think about because I've spent a lot of time thinking about the relationships that I have in this lifetime with people and wondering what we were before, like you and I. We vibe crazy. We channel together like nobody's business. You and I can just riff off of each other and just dig deeper into each other's psyches and pull out things that we'd never be able to pull out on our own. And mm-hmm. so it's like, oh, who knows what we were in previous lives, but yeah, wow, that's fascinating. I'm really glad you got clarity on that because you didn't tell, you told, I know about this relationship, but you didn't tell me that she murdered you in a previous life.
I just found out last week. So oh, okay. I was like, ooh, it's the past life episode. I have to remember to bring this up.
Perfect.
Yes. So now if I go into this relationship and it goes south, it's on me. Right. Mm-hmm. It's entirely on me, but it's also me recognizing, it takes the charge out. I love this phrase. It takes the charge out. You know what? Like if I end up working with her and it goes south, oh, well, okay. Did that. That happened. Moving on. Like it just isn't going to destroy me, you know, or kill me, metaphorically or literally. And that's another really wonderful thing is once you know that you're choosing or have chosen for yourself in this life to have this adventure, it just makes it go, oh, okay. Okay. I'm doing this then. Whereas for many, many years, oh, the victim mentality, boy, mm-hmm. I was the best victim you've ever met. Mm-hmm. Because I just, you know, I just kept, people just would sabotage me and they would steal my work and, you know, they would underpay me and everybody else would be getting paid. It was just, and it happened endlessly. You know, I couldn't get to publishing. I couldn't get to publication because invariably weird things would come in and break up the deal. And I just felt like I was being interfered with. And when I started looking into past lives with a particularly powerful, I call her my psychic brain spotting healer, because all my healers have names, don't you know? Nicknames. The yeah. Kidney Wrangler got me started on it, but this is the brain spotting person. And we went through a bunch of past lives with my family, my mother, my father, and my sister. And I wasn't only able, so this was me driving it. So I was seeing the past lives. She was just kind of guiding me into the spaces and holding the space for me, which can be so really important when you do energy work is to have, you know, a good safe space to work in. And I saw my mother's entire life. I saw past lives of hers, my dad, which was mind-bending what I saw in my dad. And then, you know, what was like the reality of what was actually happening between my sister and I in this world and how it carried over in previous worlds. And man, I'm telling you, when I came out of those things and when you have like a really great, like therapy session, it's like, I carry things in my chest. Everybody carries things in different places in their body. And I literally just felt it just like a vault go mm-hmm. like a door, rotating. And then it just popped open and all of that energy left my body. And I'm telling you, I'm never going to have to deal with these assholes ever again.
Yeah. Wow.
But more than that, I understand what happened. And that is such a hard thing in this life because we don't know why people treat us the way they treat us. We don't know why we treat ourselves the way we treat ourselves. We don't know why we keep ending up in the same situations. So if you have an intention and go and look at those past lives, then you're like, oh, how about that? This has been happening to me, you know, a gazillion times. Okay, I'm done with it. I learned the lesson. I don't need to do this anymore. Clear yeah. the karma, move along.
Wow. Wow. Very beautiful. So mind opening, and a lot of doors just got open for me that I'm just gonna have to put the rock in so that the door stays open and so that I can leave it, you know, because we can't unpack that right now.
All right, darn it. All right. Didn't you have one other life that you wanted to?
Yeah,
you're on the fence about whether or not you wanted to share it. But.
Well, so you've done 3 past life readings for me. I believe, and each of them had 2, so total of 6 lives.
Okay.
The second time that I had you do a past life reading for me, we actually came in with an intention, and it was after.
That's right.
It was after Ollie and I had done ghost work together, and I found out
Ollie, who was a guest on our podcast. Yes. Amazing interview. Go find this, people.
Yes. Well, and the specific story I'm about to bring up, I'm actually going to use as my story for BJ's podcast later this week. So this will be a nice tail into, like, you should listen to that episode on his podcast when it comes out. But Ollie and I did ghost work together, and I found out something was attached to me. And something was trying to kill me, according to Ollie. And so then I came and I was like, Trey, like, we have to find out what this thing is. We have to clear it. And then the 2 past life readings we did, neither of them related to that entity. Or at least, I don't know, maybe the second one did. And so I will share, first of all, you always say that you do the earlier past life first and then the later one second. It's always been the reverse for me.
Right, which is so interesting. Yeah, because yes. Usually there's a linear understanding, but you're such a non-linear person. Of course we can talk around.
So the first one was just a past life reading where I was with a brother. And we lived by the docks, by the ocean, and we had a really close relationship. And you said that brother was still with me, but you said it was a neutral relationship. And I was like, I'm not about to clear anything neutral out right now. Like, I still need to understand them better, so let's not clear that. The second one was a non-human lifetime where I was an extraterrestrial being, and the way you put it, the best way to describe it is they're almost armadillo-like, but they are big, very big, and they live on this planet made of, like, crystal diamond-like structures, but mainly lived underground, and that we didn't really come up to the surface a whole lot, and we mainly lived underground, and our bodies were very designed for this habitat and very hard. And we were very good diggers. And specifically, it was that I was one who was wandering and traveling, and I came upon somebody who was in a bad spot. And this entity told me to come follow them to their village, if you will. And we go, and I find out that there is a sickness that has been plaguing this. I'm calling it a village, but because I don't know what else to call it, but this commune, if you will, this group. And as soon as I got there, I knew that I wasn't going to be going back to where I came from because I cannot transfer this back. And I found out that they had been digging and they had unearthed something that was old energy and old magic. And it was bad energy, and it was actually this energy that was killing the town and killing the commune of these creatures, because we were energetic beings that were so sensitive to energy that it affected our physical health in major ways, and so the sickness was an energy sickness, if you will, and they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't fully understand that that's what they had done. And they didn't fully understand that that's why all this sickness was happening. And so then I took it upon myself to take this thing out, and just take it out of the equation and take it with me, and take it to the surface. And so I dug to the surface with this thing. And then I ended up dying on the surface, and this thing ended up killing me. And we did clear out the karma from that life. And in the moment, it was like, okay, yeah, that's nice. That's dandy. I was a little salty because I wasn't getting what I needed. But now that I'm now that I'm reflecting on it, like, that's totally, like, just you know, like how you talked about playing the victim, just like the martyr role, you know, I felt not necessarily fully drawn to it, but just drawn to like taking on other people's problems, despite myself, taking on other people's pain to help them, regardless of how it's going to affect myself. And it was very much from this lifetime that that happened. And it makes sense that it was a very, very early life for me. I think, who knows how early it was, but it seems
like... It was old.
Yeah, and it seems like that's something that I've been doing a lot in a lot of my past lives. And even the two past life readings that you ended up doing for me later carried a lot of that and carried a lot of that energy. And so when we cleared out that energy, it did prompt a shift for me. You know, because that bad energy was still attached to me, and it was attached to me in the way that it was deprecating my sense of self and my sense of belonging and my sense of purpose. And so we did clear it out. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it was just very interesting. It's interesting to have a celestial past life be read to me, because all the other ones outside of that have been human. And so, yeah.
The place that trained me, they're like, hey, you know, we just do human readings. And by then I'd already read animals, I'd read aliens. And I was like, okay, so when I work with you guys, I'll just do the human stuff. And I think that has more to do with our clientele may not be
ready.
Yeah, in the space that they want to hear about the space armadillo.
Yeah.
You know, I had one person, oh, it was a really, and I don't remember the details of the lives, because I'm just channeling, right? So when somebody tells me about the life and they remember all the details, I was like, that's amazing. That sounds really great. It's as if I wasn't even there for any of it. But what I do remember is the energy signature. And let me tell you, once this is one of my like superpowers, is once I have tied into an energy signature, I can find you anywhere across any millennia, across any universe. Like it's a thing. So I can feel you there. It's still you, but I can feel that entire life, which is really dynamite. And one of the things I want to mention with that life was you were uniquely suited to, so it wasn't just that you were like self-sacrificing. It was also that these folks, they, you know, we can call it ignorance or whatever, but they could not figure out how to help themselves. You could figure it out. So you were heroic in that moment. But then the question is do you always have to sacrifice yourself and help other people? Like, what if you had never gone to that village? Like, would they have just carried on? And their adventure would have been their adventure.
Yeah. Well, and it makes a lot of sense, because me being uniquely suited to help solve other people's problems has just been a theme throughout a lot of, especially this life. So it makes sense that my higher self wanted me to see that. So yeah, very interesting one.
And this might be something that that doesn't make the episode, but my feeling is that two-spirit people and transgender people are these people, that they're carrying this unbelievably heavy toxic load because the rest of us can't figure it out.
Wow. I love that. And also, damn.
Yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome. meow, meow. I think we probably have enough time to do one more from you.
Oh, okay. So one of the things, okay, so we talked about aliens. We talked about like being animals. But I will say this, like I don't think I'm ever going to get a past life reading for myself or anyone else where we're in the squirrel phase. It's sentient. It's the animals who are cognizant enough of what their self is, you know, what their goals are. It is weird to be like, you know, I had a friend who I hope we interview here shortly. She was an enormous, enormous turtle, but it was of this planet. So it wasn't a space turtle.
It was just a giant turtle.
This is like, God, like 2 years ago, this one. And I remembered this one. And it was her. She behaved the exact same way as a human as she did as a turtle, which was she lived at a time when there was a lot of volcanic eruptions, like, you know, under the oceans where the lands were being formed. And it made it incredibly disruptive. And a lot of animals didn't survive this because it's, you know, tsunamis under the water and it's constant changes in the temperature and the food sources. I mean, it was really frenetic time ecologically, and she always managed to find shelter and she always managed to survive it. And I'm like, Jen, that's you. How about that? Didn't clear that carbon because I didn't know how then. I could go back now. So that was a unique one. But I also want to mention that, and this is a controversial thing, but y'all, like, sometimes, like, I'm not going to get, for the most part, really positive past lives, like the ones where we were essentially taking a break and just getting a nose job. I get past lives where really horrible things have happened to people, like unbelievable violence. Sometimes I actually feel it physically. And then, of course, afterwards, it'll turn out when I come out and I talk to them afterwards, they'll be like, yeah, that injury that you read in that past life, they're like, I have that same injury today, you know, like right this minute, my shoulder does the exact same thing. Cool. Let's clear that out. Let's get it so your body can actually heal. So I see a lot of violence. I see war. Of course I do, because that's what humans did and did and did and did and did. For women, oh my God, I've seen horrible things. And one of the things for me, a lot of my female past lives were men who again, we're sabotaging me, we're stealing from me, where I would build, I was like, in one, I was an architect, and a man, killed me for my work and stole my work and claimed it for himself. So this has been a pattern. So it was such a relief for me to find this out because I knew something was going on in this life. Yeah. Like, how am I not successful doing this thing that I'm putting so many hours into and that I'm really good at? So to know that I could clear that out, but the last one, and I'm not going to give you a lot of details, but it's a Halloween episode that we're recording here. I had a past life where I was the witch doctor. We'll just call it that. So we're talking very, very ancient. And we were being, my tribe, my village was being antagonized by extraterrestrials or possibly demons. I think it might've been demons. And we had originally thought that they were partners of ours and we were trading, like they were giving us information and we were giving them resources. Guys, by the way, this is the jam. Like there was a time when the veil was much thinner and this activity was happening all the time, normal. And they turned on us, you know, these entities, whatever they were, they turned on us and I made a deal with them. I essentially told them that I would let them use my body in other lives to do whatever nonsense they were up to if they would leave my people alone.
Wow.
And I made a deal.
Oh my gosh, making a deal with demons, Trey?
Yes. And by the way, we've all done it. We've all done it. We've all done dark arts, folks. Like, don't fool yourself. The thing you hate most in this world, you were that in some lifetime. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it was normal, right? So it's not like supercharged, like, oh my God, you were the exorcist. You were business partners with the mafia boss. Whatever. We've all done it. The thing that struck me the hardest was I saw the bone ritual that happened in order to seal this deal. And I'm telling you, that is something I will never not be able to see and unsee. It was just horrifying. So there are darknesses, folks. We can clear those out as well. Is that the original place where I started inviting other entities and beings and people to come in and mess with me? It's gotten less and less and less, obviously, you know, over the thousands of lives that I've lived, which is typical, y'all. Like the original one is the worst because it's got to set the trauma. It's got to set the contract. But each life after that gets a little lighter. But wouldn't it be grand to not be making deals with, you know, with darkness?
Yeah.
Yes, I think it is. So I don't.
Which, that explains a lot about just the way you interact with spirits now, and just the boundaries you have. And also, I'm curious, and obviously you don't have to go into crazy detail, did you find out any of the other lives that you had that were controlled by these demons?
Yeah, you bet. And that's the other crazy thing is your life circumstances may change, you know, lifetime by lifetime, but these entities, guys, they're infinite. We're the ones with the short lifespans. They're the ones who've been hanging around for millennia and millennia and millennia. So I have absolutely, absolutely cleared things out of my field and other people's fields that have been messing with them across lifetimes.
Wow. Wow.
Single lifetime for them, multiples for us. Wow. And this may not make the episode because it's really dark and controversial, but hey.
It's okay. I mean, the past life reading we're showing at the end of this episode isn't necessarily the happiest. But yeah, to kind of set that up, first of all, thank you for everybody who's listened to this point. We just wanted to talk a little bit about the lives that we've had. We are going to segue this into a past life reading that Trey and I did intended as an episode. We did two readings that episode. One of them we don't feel is appropriate to share, so we're cutting it. But the second one actually was the most impactful past life reading I've had so far and just set up so much karma that I've had to clear, and has also lately had domino effects of like things that are coming up. And so I don't want to spoil too much, and I still have, because I've debriefed with Trey a little bit, but I don't want to spoil too much, but I definitely found out a lot about just what I was doing and why I'm what the load that I've been carrying since that life. So it'll be a good one to show.
Huzzah. And that absolutely sets up a karma clearing episode. So we'll circle back around to this past life reading as part of that. And I know I've been told by some of our listeners that they get upset that we talk about, oh, we're going to do an episode on that. And they're like, we want it now. We want to hear about it now, but we can't because you've seen us. We tangent. It's bad. But I am keeping a list. I promise all the things we've ever said that we're going to do an episode on it. We'll get to it. We will. Yeah. I promise.
Patience is a virtue, everybody. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening. I don't know what kind of wrap up will be at the end of that episode, so we'll see. But as always, cheers. Meow meow.
Cheers. Meow meow. All right, so we're going to move into our second past life reading. Sticking with the same theme, though, this idea of how you view your own value, but how that value is also, you know, dictated or seen by other people. So let me go quiet and let me see what pops up here. Where are we? So speed is the first thing that came through. Interesting, because the last one started in absolute stillness. Where are we? What are we doing? Here it is a very sandy climate. I feel like if it is going to be this planet, it's going to be the Middle East. This is going to be so weird to say, but like wheels were a thing. So, I look for the technologies, you know, like, and technology didn't change for long, long, long periods of time. So it could be really hard for me to dial in on just where we are. All right. I feel like it was something akin to I'm just going to call it a cart. The first word that came through was chariot, but that's not quite right. Because you're carting. You're literally like, you're able to carry things in this thing. It's not just a one or two person, two wheels. Okay, whatever. Moving on. Horses. That tells us the speed. We're on the road. Road to Damascus just popped into my head. I used to know what that meant. I don't know. I I think the road to Damascus was Roman, but the Roman Empire stretched out in all kinds of funky ways. So you are between towns. You are like an emissary for somebody. You are carrying. Are you a messenger? You're pretty important. I mean, not that you know. You're not. Of course, you're disposable, but like you're important. Like you have a very specific task for important people. We'll put it that way. All right. So where are we? It's some kind of a like a fort, and it's all made of stones. But again, it's yeah, I'm just gonna say Middle Eastern, like the way we think about the way walls and structures were built, like Egypt. They had a system for manufacturing bricks. There we go. So it was all very standardized versus just pulling. It wasn't like Ireland where you just pull rocks off the land, you know, and put them together, piece them together. This is design. This is architecture. Okay, great. So now we're in there. Lots of people live in the space. Lots of people do business in the space. You take the somebody comes and takes the horse and the cart thingy or chariot thingy from you, and you like just expect that. Like that's how important you are. You don't even have to take your own horses to the stables. Okay, so you have like I'm being shown like a there's an envelope. Is there anything? I felt like you were carrying something though, or that you were shipping something. Maybe it was for something else. There's a bag, like a little, like a coin bag, that you have with you. That's not yours. Maybe that's what it is. All right. Going up some stairs, going. Oh my God. It's so far. What? Like, and I understand that like they put like a lot of these important rooms inside so that when they were attacked, there was places to retreat to. So this was not one of the parts of the, I'm going to call it a fort, but I honestly have no idea what this is. But they had, I'm going to call it parapets, but I don't know if that's what they called them. So there's soldiers that were up on the parapet, you know, looking out. So this was kind of a wartime thing. There was expectation, or maybe it was just a show of force to be like, look at how fancy we are. Like we have guards all the time. I don't know. The fact that you were let in without being stopped at the gates is important to know. You were sick. You had something going on. Oh, by the way, you're male in this life. Mm-hmm. If I didn't mention that, you have some kind of I can't figure out what organ it is. It might be a liver thing. But you have like these gut pains that are not digestive. It's something else. Okay. I think you were injured is what it was. I think that, you were a soldier. You took, a terrible, I'm seeing something sharp. I don't know if it was a sword or if it was a bow, or an arrow situation, but you did, like you, one of your organs got skewered, and it's just, I mean, there was a dynamite field surgeon, you know, who knew lots of witchy things, who was able to save you. It was certainly the kind of injury that had killed others, but not everyone. You were saved. The army left you behind with all the others. Sorry, this is like a flashback. It's like how weird. It's the backstory inside of the story. I'm just being shown that you were left behind by your, I'm going to call it the unit, your military unit. You were not sad about that. Like you were never much of a soldier. This was not your jam. Everybody just got conscripted. And really there was this huge expectation that like, oh, please, like, you know, everybody is going to get injured. Lots of people are going to die. It was just, you know, the fate. It was just the way things were going to work out. So you're like, okay, here's my time. I'm going to die. And then you didn't die. And you were really surprised by that. So by the time you came out of all of your delirium, like the people who'd been left behind, like maybe half or a third survived. And then it was more time until they were ready to travel. And you became one of the people that helped the other people recover, so that because it wasn't just like, you know, like one person left, like you left in groups of people. It was safer that way. Okay, fine. I think you were gay. There was a soldier there that got a lot of your special attention, and he liked you very much too. Did he die? No, but he was injured badly enough. What'd they do with him? It's not a super tragic, like, this doesn't go super dark. You know what it was? This is really weird. It was, lots of people, while they were healing, because it took so long to heal, lots of people had romances.
Yeah, it wasn't frowned upon, and this wasn't hidden.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I do think that it wasn't you that had a spouse at home. I think it was him. Like, he was either promised to somebody or already, you know, had some kind of a relationship or whatever. But like, it was just for this time. You guys comforted each other. You guys loved each other. It was great. And at the end, you guys parted ways, and that was that. Interesting. Okay, so moving along. Let's get back to, so you were a favorite of somebody in your military unit, and that's why you got this kind of cush job to be a messenger. They knew that you had good soldiering skills so that you could defend yourself, but you also had really fast horses, which was important, and you weren't afraid of speed. Because those things were not, like, they were rickety, please. However, the bouncing hurt that wound bad. So at the end of every trip, like, that, I'm just going to call it the liver, because I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know anatomy.
It's the liver. It's on the liver. Left side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it always took you some time to recover afterwards, because it would get bruised. Okay. Thank you for all that information. Can we move forward, please? Whatever, you hand off the thing, you give the thing.
All I know is I was bitter. Like, I was a very bitter person in this job. I was not the same as I was before, maybe because of this injury, but also because of how people treat me and how much respect they have for me. And it's like my opinion of myself changed, and it led to that bitterness.
Yeah, that's a great read of that. You were always on the road. Mm-hmm. And so there was no home for you. There was nobody waiting for you. And it doesn't mean that you didn't have, like, I see you with other people, like, you know, a man in every port or whatever. But like,
I didn't belong anywhere.
You didn't belong anywhere, and you didn't belong with anyone. Mm-mm. You always picked people who were of lower ranks, for strategic reasons. So you were picking them. They always looked up to you. That was great. That was fine by you. You also understood there was a lot of politics, like a ton of politics, and you just wanted to stay out of it. Yeah. You're like, I'm just going to do my job, you know, and maybe someday this, you know, this, like, I'll get to live a different life. Okay. Very nice. Okay, let's move forward. Let's fast forward. At some point, you were actually suicidal. You were in pain all the time. You were lonely. God, you were, I mean, so lonely. Your best friends were the horses, which was not terrible, but, you know, they're horses.
Yeah.
I see you standing on, like, a cliffside kind of thing, where there was either, is there water? Doesn't matter. If you threw yourself off the cliff, you would surely perish. Ooh, I went all English there for a second, just like in the movies. But at the same time, it's like you couldn't. Okay. I'm going to go quiet for a second. Bunch of info's coming in. Okay, so this is at a time where they used to be polytheo, whatever. They had many gods. But Christianity is, like, on the rise. and you could not find a place in either of them. It's like you kind of rejected all of it. And I see you standing on this cliff, and this is when you met your spiritual life. It was neither Christian. I mean, it's all the same, right? It's all God. But it was, tell me. It's actually presenting as like a male presence. And like, it's I literally see it like kind of floating, like, you know, in the air, and it's talking to you, and, you know, and what I'm hearing is like, it was telling you, it's like, it's okay. Like you've done enough. If you're done, like, it's cool. Like you can go out. But if you want to stick around, then, like I can show you some things. And this was the first time in like a decade or longer that you felt any curiosity about the world. Cause you'd seen everything by then. Holy crap. You'd seen everything. And there was something.
And I'd been given so much that wasn't a choice to me. Like, it was just given to me regardless of if I wanted it or not.
Yeah.
So to have a choice and be able to choose on my own was very new to me.
Yeah. And you understood, like, this was not a, you know, this was not a punitive presence. Like, it wasn't going to punish you to not worship it. It was just pulling back the veil for you and saying, hey, there's more. And I actually see you stepping off the cliff, but like into the arms of this. So I'm going to take that more metaphorically. Should I take it more metaphorically?
No, it's literal. Yeah, I died. It's literal.
You died.
I died.
How about, sorry, I'm laughing. That's terrible. But
no, because I've known this. There's been so many times I've been standing over a ledge and not like having thoughts about it, but I can vividly picture what it's like to fall off this ledge, what it's like to fall into the abyss. And I knew that in a life I had died by falling. And when you told me I was sitting off this cliff, I was like, I choose it. And then even when you told me the choice, I was like, yeah, I want to explore more, but I'm done with this life. I'm done with this pain. I'm done hating existence. Oh. I'm done not having friends. And so it was like loved ones.
Like, you weren't loved, you know, and you knew you had the capacity to love because of the guy at the hospital and, you know, in previous things before that, but especially the guy at the hospital.
So it was like this entity was providing me this option, and it was a yes, but like, yes, I will step into your arms, but we're not doing this in this lifetime.
And then whoever that was, like, you did get to have a relationship with them moving forward. Which I think is really, I'm getting goosebumps. Like, yeah. So whoever that was is still a, was it just an angel? Because I'm not attaching it to any particular religion.
Mm-mm. It's a presence, but it's not like Lilith and Hecate.
Right.
You know, it's different.
It's not a god.
There's a reason that I haven't attached myself. Like, it's still here with me, but there's a reason I haven't found it, is because it's not like it's hidden, but it's always been there. It's in the background, you know?
Yeah. You know, and in a weird way, you know, if there was ever any comfort in your soul that knew that no matter what you chose, you would be caught, it was because of this. And I don't mean SI. I just mean whatever you chose, it would be okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let me do a quick sweep around. So you never, you didn't fall, like you fell, your body fell, but your spirit did not fall.
Did not fall.
There was never that terror. There was never that doubt. Like, what have I done? Literally it caught you and it carried you off. And how fantastic is that? So it took away fear of, moving between worlds. What a huge gift for you. You understand that death is not terrifying. It gave you back your autonomy. And there was so much love in it. Like it was the hospital love, but bigger. And you were like, okay. Yeah. And I'm not getting past the part where literally it just caught your, you know, your spirit or whatever we want to call it. And was kind of carrying you.
It's almost as if, like, so the first reading you did was a more recent one, but this one, it doesn't feel older, but it is older little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like the effects that this had have existed for better or for worse, where from this life on, I have not been afraid of death that much. Like, there has been moments of being fearful of death. But there's reason behind why I'm afraid of death beyond just death itself. And also, I had always maintained a hope for the future beyond this point, even if I freaking hated it.
And also not being willing to settle for the thing that had been given to you. So it was, you know, obviously the systemic oppression, which we can draw ties to both in both lives, but also this life. You know, and it's that search for safety, and can safety extend into like love? Even though in both of those lives, like you were just a cog in a machine, you know?
I almost wonder. Okay. So this search for safety, this search for love that I didn't complete in this lifetime, combined with this unwillingness to accept what I'm given, almost did me bad, because then it turned into an unwillingness to feel safe in what I'm given, you know, an unwillingness to accept that this is what I wanted, you know, like trailing back to the reading we did before, those feelings very much contributed to that mind space that I was in with that man, where I wasn't accepting that I was safe, and I wasn't accepting that this is safety and this is love, even if it was, even if I was loved by him, it didn't matter. And I've been holding to that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I also want to make a point of, in the swamps, there's lots of, vegetation, you know, and also like layers, like you could go into the water, there was ways to hide and to fall into the, like to let the land kind of, you know, cover you and hold you. But you ended up in a place that just was, you know, again, the fields were fallow. I understand that like there's times where there was crops, but for the most part, it was the opposite of a swamp, which was how, you know, what you felt at home. And then this place, like there weren't, I mean, you know, the occasional palm tree or whatever, but like this was barren. This was, this was not, it had the same kind of vibe to it. You know, you couldn't connect to the land in the same ways because the land just felt barren to you.
Yeah.
Oof. Heavy, Jenny, really heavy. Interesting that they came in reverse order, because the Roman one was probably like, I don't know, like 5 AD or something. No, it couldn't have been quite that old, because I do feel like Christianity was just starting to encroach. So it probably would have been like 100 AD. A big difference, right? You know, like 150 years or something. But still, much, much older. Usually I get the old one first. So let me just interrogate this a little bit. So what I'm being told is that lifetime was just one, the Roman lifetime was just one example of times where you connected to much, much bigger spiritual, whatever. I don't even know what to call it. Cause it's not like it wasn't your powers. The powers came in later as you lived more, more human. But that you were shown that there was things that were much greater than what the society had given you. So if there's ever any doubt about, there's both permission, but there's also, or you could just know that at the end of the day, there is this angelic figure that's got you.
It's like, it's this weird mix where it feels like an angelic figure, and also it feels so connected to nature and the land, mm-hmm. you know? And that moment that I stepped off the cliff, and I'm just spitballing here, but this is also what I've come to understand psychic reading to be.
Tell me what you see.
The moment that I stepped off the cliff set me on a path where I was searching for love. I was searching for meaning. I was searching for wholeness. And very consistently throughout the lives after that, the only wholeness, love, and meaning that I accepted and trusted was from the land, you know, and from the earth. And it's almost like this is the lifetime that I'm living now where I have to start undoing that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the only time in my life I've ever accepted love from somebody is when I was annoyed by them as a person, you know, and I'm not talking about anybody now. It was past, but like the only time I could accept that somebody loves me is when I didn't love that person back, you know, but when I do love that person back, it's very different and it's very hard to feel stable and feel grounded and real in it.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's making me pretty emotional.
I know. So let's wrap the episode quick, but please know, folks at home, we will do what's called energetic separations. We're going to wrap the karma on this life. We're going to release as much of this as possible. You know, Jenny's going to do some work once we bid adieu, and I'm going to do some clearing and separating work myself. So wonderful, Jenny. Thanks so much for sharing that.
Thank you for doing this again and doing it for me so many times. I feel so blessed.
So
haven't paid
times.
For this at all.
But because of eternity, it feels like
forever.
All right, darling. Cheers.
Well, cheers. Meow, meow. Meow. Meow.